Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, we each have much going on all around us. Maybe it is in our personal life. Maybe it is involving our nation or the world. However, whatever it is, help us to have your perspective. Help us to fulfill the plan and purpose that you have for our life. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. We recognize that we serve an awesome God who is perfect and superior in every way. Knowing his perfection, we find it easy to submit to God. Or do we? Our brain understands God's perfection, and we intellectually want to submit to him, but somehow we each have wants and desires that we find it difficult to overcome. How do we overcome our natural inclination to do what pleases us? We all have momentary desires. Probably each one of us can testify how when we followed those momentary desires, it was a mistake, and we wish we had not done so. Eventually, we all learned that it is best to follow God's rules, or society rules even, but God's rules are always the best. Yeah. Let's see, society rules. For me, I had about 15 years where I thought when it was safe, I could speed. And I did. I speeded, and I would get a speeding ticket every few years, maybe every 5 years. And then finally, I learned my lesson. And now, I pay attention to my speed. I hardly ever speed at all anymore. Those are man's laws. And they are instituted for our safety. And eventually, we learn to obey them. And I think it's not so different when we look at God's laws. When we break God's laws, we can really get hit hard. How many times do we think that we got away with something? But no, we never do. God's laws always have consequences. And even if the penalties are delayed, there are always consequences. They might come years later. And sometimes you can recollect that there's a familiar pattern to what you once did and the results of what's going on now. So you look back and you see things and you learn. It's kind of human nature, I think, to want to think that we got away with something. But God never does forget. Never. And it's a lesson that we will learn one way or the other. Now, sometimes the hard way, the hard lesson, is really the easy way, the easy lesson. Because with one hard lesson, we have actually learned our lesson. Rather than having to go through something several times and get consequences that are not comfortable, but they're not bad enough for us to pay attention to, and we just didn't learn the lesson. So we live with the consequences, and we think we can. Or maybe we think we got away with something. I think it's better if we learn our lesson, even if it is with a hard consequence. Now, some people, we've heard the stories, they get some really pretty hard consequences. Sometimes people go to prison for what they've done. So, be sure to restrain yourself when it is appropriate. Even if you feel like doing something, if it's wrong, don't do it. We don't want hard consequences. Nope. Submit to society's order. Submit to God's order. and learn the lessons that we need to learn. And learn from the easy lessons and not the hard ones. So, well, everywhere in life, there is order and there is rules. And sometimes you look around and you can see them. It's plain, simple, and obvious. And other times, it takes a while to learn. Now, I think of the economics situation in the world, and I see those rules that are pushed upon and really even violated. And even the financial area is an area where rules apply. It's just that we're not so familiar with them because we haven't studied them. But I think it's so important to look at all the different areas where we have an impact and that impacts us. So economy. Oh, I should just define those words a little bit. Economy, anything economic has to do with properly spending one's money. Let's see. And financial is having to do with an institutional control of money, and that includes public or government money. Oh, and money? What is money? It's a unit of metal that has a recognized value, a value of exchange for the commercial transaction or for a trade. And what's currency? Currency is or are pieces of paper that are exchangeable for something of value, like a precious metal coin. So those are some definitions. Oh, hey, if you want to look at definitions, one good source is the Webster's 1828 dictionary. And it's the best dictionary I've ever used. It goes to the heart of concepts of the words that we use. And so it's very superior to any modern dictionaries that we use today. So in my opinion, it's really good to have that one. And if you are homeschooling, I very much suggest you get a Webster's 1828 dictionary for your home. I think they're kind of expensive. No, I know they are. They're something like $100 for one. But it's good. And if you're not inclined to the books, you can look things up on your computer with a Google search. They have the Webster's 1828 dictionary online also. So let me go back to that economic and financial area. Yes. My point is about how uncertain our economic future is and how we must safeguard our money or our assets from economic swings. And sometimes there are great big wild economic swings in our world, in our market, and they happen more when there is a collapsing economy. So it's something to pay attention to. I do see that this collapsing economy is a real possibility here. So yeah, it's my opinion, but more than a few other people who have studied long-term economies of countries also are of this opinion. But the timing is really quite unknown. The timing of some kind of a crisis, you could call it a collapse. Well, that's a very debatable subject. And people who are concerned about this look at the events around us, and we are very concerned because the events remind us of past history when abnormal events or surprises, well, they got our attention as a society. And you can kind of see those same kind of events, surprises, happening today in the world around us. So, for instance, now here's one. Whoever would have predicted what is going on in Denmark right now, today, where homeowners can get a 10-year bank loan on their home, and it has a negative interest rate of 0.5%. Yeah, it means that the bank is paying you 0.5% in order for you to take out a bank loan to finance your purchase of a house. Yep, you heard that one right. Pretty amazing, isn't it? So not only are you paying no interest on the bank loan, but the bank is paying you 0.5% to take out that home loan, 10-year home loan. So how can the fundamentals of banking be right when something like this is going on? It is so wrong, and we can only guess where the violation of basic and fundamental economics will lead us. It'll probably end up someplace that's we don't want to be. It's going to be something when we see the economics of the world just jumbled. Okay. Well, we also have other surprises in the world, events. They're surprises. We don't know when they're going to happen, but they do happen, and they have happened. And now, and the economic area is just one of those areas where the surprises are happening, like with that Denmark home mortgage situation. And you can look at another, for instance, with the chairman of the Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell. He said that the United States economy is in uncharted waters. What does that mean? Well, uncharted waters is you don't know what's going to happen. And these are very close to the same words that an ex-Federal Reserve Chairman, Alan Greenspan, used. The end of last year, he was speaking about the United States economy, and he said that we are in uncharted territory. See, they both used the word uncharted when referring to our economy. And that ought to mean something to us. And now how can it be that the Federal Reserve Chairman, the current one and the past one, apparently are unable to have an idea of what in our economy will happen next? What does that mean? Do they really have no idea about what will happen next? Who knows? Okay, well, I guess that means we should be prepared for something that we don't expect. Because if they don't know, how can we know? I think of something that I said earlier in this year, which was that this would be a year of volatility. And yes, we have seen volatility in the marketplace, and I expect there will be more volatility. And we need to watch it and be prepared for what patterns that we see and try to understand what could be coming. And I know over the years, there has been a very large rise in the stock market prices. So that's one indicator that things are in uncharted waters. And the thing about the stock market is that the price of the stocks are not supported by the traditional analysis of yield. That's a big thing. That's huge, really. So we are getting into a new situation here. And another part of this situation is when every aspect of our society has a large level of debt. Debt, it can get overwhelming. And it's so widespread, it's practically ubiquitous. Where everywhere there is debt, everybody has debt. And that is kind of like it was before the 1929 economic collapse and the Great Depression that followed in the 1930s. And the Great Depression was made much, much worse because the banks stopped lending money to anyone for any reason. And there was a good reason for the banks to stop lending, and that was because banks needed cash to operate. And if they loaned out that money, they were very uncertain if they would get paid back in cash. So they stopped making those loans. They did this out of fear that they would not get the cash back for the loan that they had written. So they didn't lend. And if we have this kind of a collapse in our society, no bank, no institution is going to lend money either, because they will need to have their cash on hand. And it's a problem, because in these days our economy needs loans. It needs currency flowing to make our economy work. So, if our economy stopped flowing, everybody would be in a great big panic. It would probably mean another great big depression, even greater than the last Great Depression. And that's what some economists are talking about, that is soon coming. But when will it happen? No, I don't even know that it is happening. But you look at the signs and the patterns, and you recognize what has happened in history, and you can see that there is a very good reason for it to happen sometime soon. Indicators. Oh, if one of the things that has happened, now, this happened last month. Every day in August, there was a total average of $600 million of stock per day that sold by insiders on the New York Stock Exchange. So that's an indication that people know where this economy is going, and they want to pull their money out while they can. So they're selling vast amounts of stock. Let's see. Another report is that Warren Buffett is accumulating a large amount of cash. Millions of dollars he's accumulated. And he did that just before the last large recession, because what he was doing was preparing to buy up distressed companies at a great big discount. That's what he did. And apparently, that's what he is planning to do now. Of course, we don't know. We don't have actual knowledge. But we can look at the indicators and try to get a pretty good idea. So, is there another recession soon coming? Might be. I don't have any special knowledge about this. I only know what I have seen from the study of history. I've studied history, and I've looked at economics, and I see that there is a chance for a large recession. So, nope, I don't have any special knowledge. I just can see the patterns. Yep, today could be like the 1929 year just before the collapse and the depression of the 1930s. It could be. So what I would say is be prepared for either one to happen, for there to be good times or hard times. And if there is a collapse, it would be a worldwide event, because the central banks of every country are so very connected, so very intertwined. In the world, there's something like, 150, somewhere between 130 and 180 central banks. And often, they are so intertwined and connected with each other. They buy each other's debt. They buy and sell between themselves. And that's what the central banks are doing. Oh, another thing they're doing is they're buying up billions of dollars of stock, mostly United States stock, but European as well. And so there's a question of what is going on. Indeed, what is going on? We don't know, and the financial analysts don't know, but we have enough common sense to look at the patterns and look at the information we get. Why, that's just reasonable. And like I said, I look at things from a historical point of view. That's just me. It comes naturally to me. And I'm concerned. And I'm very well aware that people are predicting all sorts of things. Either that our economy is going to do great, going to do well, or that we are going to have some great big recession. People are predicting both outcomes. Study it yourself, I say. Because a lot of people have a lot of views, and we don't know what really and truly the future holds. We just know that either way could happen. So I say, figure out what you would do in either event, if we were to have a serious recession, or if we were to have a very good economy that would be better than it is now. So be prepared for either one to happen. That's really my advice. That's what I think about. I saw this tweet a couple of days ago. It was by an anonymous person. They used a pseudonym. And it said, "Gold doesn't lie. Central bankers do lie. And that is why I would rather trust in gold." Yeah, I laughed when I saw that. And I thought of the comments about the uncharted waters we are in. We don't know where things are really going to go. But look at what the information you do have and try to make reasonable decisions based on what you do understand. And be ready for just about anything. Be ready for the just-in-case situation. And we have mixed indicators. Some indicators say that everything is going to be just fine. But me, I think there's more indicators that say we're going to have some major troubles. Well, it's something that you wouldn't want someone to make a decision for you about. So you just look at what you can understand and have a decision, hopefully, that will be good in either case, either if we have a huge recession or a good booming economy. But don't wait forever, because if you wait too long, then everybody is going to see that there's a crisis upon us, and they will have already made decisions that you wish you had made. And that is either for what you would have as an investment, or it is what you would think about if there was a crisis situation. For instance, what kind of food and supplies would you want if there was a crisis? Will all the water, the food, and the supplies be gone? Oh, just think of what happens when there's a forecast that a hurricane is coming into your region or any region. The store shelves are emptied, and often enough, they are not restocked for a few weeks. That's just the way it is. When people get concerned or afraid that there's going to be a shortage, they buy what there is, and the stores are not able to handle the sudden purchases of consumers. So, the most basic things you will always need are water and food. And those would disappear ever so quickly if there were some kind of a national emergency concern. It's, and just look back at our history. Our history, we have had so many blessings of God that we have had abundance in every area. There has been abundance with everything. Whatever we need or wanted, it was there. It has been like that for quite a few generations, and we just cannot quite imagine going to the store and not being able to buy what we want when we want it. What we want when we want. It's just that we don't think of what would happen if the store shelves were empty. But that's what happens for most of the world's population. What they go to the store and there's not what they want to purchase. What they want isn't there. And that's just standard procedure for the rest of the world. So they buy what they can and they do without, or they make do with what they can get. It's the world. It's just that we have been so very blessed by our prosperity and our system of supply. Well, our nation has such great abundance. We can thank God for the abundance that we do have. Always acknowledge God as the source of our abundance and give Him thanks. Thank you, Lord. Our nation's young people have been taught about God in a much different way than we in the older generation. Plus, the young people, they have less time to look at the concept of God and understand biblical precepts. The younger people get all taken up with electronic and social media. Oh, often enough, we older folk do also, but it's more so with the younger people. So things could change, be quite different in the future. I know there's the millennial generation of people aged 23 to 38 now, and in that age group, half of them would not go on a vacation if there was no Wi-Fi. Yep. And half of them think that socialism would be good for our country. Half of them support raising the income tax to 70%. And half of them think that Medicare should be available for everyone. Oh, and then close to half have taken at least one pharmaceutical drug in the last 30 days. And close to half did not know who the vice presidential pick was in the last election. They voted for the president, but they didn't know who the vice president was. And one third are living with their parents. And another one third thought that In God We Trust should be removed from our currency. So, yeah, What does all this mean? Well, I think of the concept of the fullness of iniquity. That's in Genesis chapter 15, verse 16. And it talks about judgment after the fullness of iniquity is reached. Oh, the next verse in Genesis 15, 17 is about having this happen in the fourth generation. Now, we don't exactly know when the fourth generation is, because we don't know when the first generation was in God's eyes. And by the way, how long is a generation? I know over and over it's said that a generation is 60 years in the Bible, but sometimes it's 70. And then there's a shorter generation periods also, like 30 years. So how long is a generation? I don't know. It makes it pretty difficult to interpret a time frame, doesn't it? Yeah. So what does the Bible say? Mostly, I think the Bible is not for the purpose of setting a future date. I think of the Bible as telling us, well, yes, it tells us what will happen in the future, but it doesn't have a year attached to future events. So when we read the Bible, we can look back in time and see that the events that were predicted did indeed happen just as the Bible predicted. I think that's the big advantage we have with the Bible, is it shows itself to be a true book. And as for making predictions, I don't think that's its purpose. And yes, we can look forward and see what the events are going to be. And we know they're true because it's talked about what would happen in the past, and those things have already happened, and they've been true. So we can see the Bible is true from the evidence. Yeah, we do get a pretty good idea of what our future holds. We just don't know when things will come about. And as we study, we learn God's truth, and we learn to depend on the Word of God, the Bible. And just because we see something as a big event doesn't mean that God would call it important enough to include in the Bible. So look at, for instance, 9/11. We just had that 18th anniversary of an event that rocked our lives. That event caused much uncertainty, and it caused many small businesses to lose cash flow. And with that, contracts were canceled, and plenty of small businesses that I was familiar with, they closed down or they went bankrupt. See, 9/11 had a ripple effect on our nation's economy and also on so many lives. And you look back at 9/11 today, almost all of us knew somebody who or we knew somebody that knew somebody who died in 9/11. It affected our whole society. So there are unusual events that happen. And, you know, about that 9/11 event, the government agencies that were in those buildings, some of them sent their employees home for that day. They said, don't come in. Or they might have the person who answered the phone come in, but everyone else was told not to come in that next day, which was 9/11. So I have to wonder, what was that about? Did somebody have knowledge that we didn't? I don't know. But if you listen, you did hear those stories about the 9/11 over the public airwaves. Now, I recall that there were three government offices where they were told not to come to work that next fateful day. So, yeah, there's stories. There's lots of stories. Just like with the Pentagon, why was every single privately owned security camera around the Pentagon, why was it confiscated by the FBI? And wasn't it strange that most of those cameras had a malfunction on that day, and they did not film the footage of what happened? Huh. It's remarkable, isn't it? A lot of remarkable things happened. A lot of impossible things happened. Coincidences. Well, I started out with the thought that I wanted to tell about the people who lived through 9/11, not the problems. Lots of people lived through the 9/11 event, and they showed love and compassion for the many people around them. That's what I think we have to remember, that there was a lot of love and compassion on that tragic day, that people had concern for other people. And this was not just Americans. It came from countries all over the globe. People showed their compassion for America and Americans. Americans were hurting, and people around the world showed their compassion. It has happened this way when America has been hit with a natural disaster. There have been a lot of people who have prayed and sent support to America when Americans were hurting. That has happened in past disasters, natural disasters, and for the 9/11 event. So, whatever, we still definitely pray that evil will be overcome in the world. There's a lot of evil in the world, but there is more good than evil. Thank God. Now, there's been a lot of people who continually pray for somebody's hurting, and that's just good. You know, about a 9/11 event, don't forget Benghazi. That happened on September 11th also, but 2012. Brave men died. Brave Americans died. And again, our country cried, but brave men died. Well, anyway, I believe prayer makes a difference, and I hope that you are praying for all the unfortunate things that happen to people in the world. Because after all, we are in a spiritual battle. We're right in the middle of it. And prayer is a spiritual activity. It's a reality in the spiritual world. There's lots of people these days that are confused at what is good and what is evil. And that is talked about in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. In Isaiah, it tells us that we do not want to call evil good and good evil, because it angers the Lord. And that's a few verses later. It says, the anger of the Lord was kindled against his people because they didn't know the difference between good and evil. They called good evil and evil good. So, I know what is talked about among Christians was that we don't have anything to worry about, because God will rapture us before anything bad happens to us. That is such a common discussion, but we just have to understand about the rapture, and God needs Christians in the world so that they can tell others about his gospel. So, yeah, we won't face the wrath of God, but we surely can face difficult times. And even the anger of God we could face. Yeah, and we don't want to be around evil because we do not want to have the consequences of evil people. So just remember these things. Structure your life so that you can be walking with God. Don't let the anger of God fall upon you. Yeah. I know for me, I want to be far away from God's anger. And so you want to be righteous. Now, maybe you don't think you can be righteous, but you sure can make steps towards it. Active steps. Every day, step towards God's righteousness. Step towards God's holiness. And assume that you can be holy, not that you can't. You'd be surprised at how much, how good that you can actually be and spread around. Well, it's true that nobody can, well, be completely holy like Jesus Christ was, but don't we want to try? We're told that it's good to do so, to be holy and righteous. That's 1 Peter 1:16. Well, try to be holy, try to be righteous. And if nothing else, at least move strongly in that direction. Yeah, if you have sin in your life, don't excuse that sin. Try to eliminate it from your life. Turn from the sin you have and become a new person, born again into the kingdom of God. And that's the Gospel of John, chapter 3. Well, let's see now. Have you ever forgotten something and had to go back and get it? Of course you have. Now, even if you were in a hurry to get someplace that you needed to be, you still forget things. I know what that's like. I do. And then you have to go back and get it, and you're late. Well, there's one time when you won't have a chance to go back and get what you forgot. And you know when that is, don't you? That is when you are ready to leave this world and go into the next world. So be sure that you have everything lined up for that journey that you don't know when will happen. You don't know how it will happen. But you can be sure that in life, it will happen. It just you don't know when. We don't know that. Try to be as righteous as you can. And if you can't, remember that the righteousness of Jesus Christ will cover you when you put your faith in Him. And you can do that now. It's a free gift. It is free when you accept the gift of forgiveness from Jesus Christ. And that is salvation. Because He paid for your sins, that your sins would be forgiven by what He did on the cross. So turn, if you have sin in your life, turn from it, and maybe go to that book of Gospel of John, chapter 3, and come into that new born-again kingdom of God. And then you won't have a concern about your eternity being in heaven or hell. Yeah, that's a big event. Oh boy. I think it's important to read this information yourself because quite a few people have quite a different way of looking at what it is to receive salvation. And it's all written down in the Bible. The Bible tells you. So, rather than listen to anyone, including me, you can read the Bible. And it's not a hard thing to do. Read the New Testament. That is something like 250 pages. And just think, you know when you've read a 250-page book. You know you can do it. And the New Testament is kind of like a 250-page book, more or less. You can read it for yourself. And if you don't like to read, you can always get it on a CD. And you can listen to it and get the same information if that's your mode of absorption. So, what else do you have to do in life? Well, if you're not sure, make a list, write it down. That's always good to do. I like to write things down. I do that for lists and what I'm doing in a day or what I'm doing for preparedness or for anything. I often have an outline of what I want to do. So you might find that helpful too. Make a list. Write it down. Yeah, have a plan. Plans really do help with life. They help a lot with life. And, oh, let me tell you about a fellow that just passed into the next life. T-Bone Pickens. He is a rich U.S. He was a rich United States oil man. And he was an investor. And he just passed into the next life a few days ago. Now, I don't know much about him, but I remember one bit of advice that he gave. He said that a man with a plan beats a man without a plan every time. And I have found that to be true. A man with a plan beats a man without a plan every day, every time. So, you know, we all have our different way of putting understanding and words into order, but examine that concept, and I have found it to be true, and maybe that's something that you can reflect on. And I hope that man knew Jesus Christ and the plan that Jesus Christ had for him, because that's the eternal plan, and it's the only one that matters as you go into the next world, the next life. So, you know how I often think about emergency things? That's a part of having a list also. Lists are good. Lists are important. And they help keep you on track to meet your goals and to have an orientation to what it is you want to achieve. So, yes, please do have a list. Please do examine what you need to get organized, to make sure that you have everything. Lists are very important. And you know what's on my list. It's really pretty plain. Water, food, and warmth. For the emergency essentials, that's what you need. And of course, there's a whole lot more than this. A whole lot more, but you have to start someplace. And the basics are water, food, and warmth. And then you can expand from there. Maybe you start with a small amount, like for just a few days, and then you make it for a few weeks, and if you want, for a few months. And I know there's people out there that are doing preparedness for a few years. Every once in a while, I run into one of them, and you can't fault them, because it doesn't take much once you get started on the path. You get more and more acquainted with the things you need, and you just get more of what you need. You get food that lasts and lasts, and it can work. Now, if there is an emergency, you better know that probably your electricity is going to go off. And that means the food in your refrigerator and your freezer will soon, very quickly, spoil. So have some other food. You know I like grains and the basics of sugar, salt, and oil. But also have a few cans of things, because cans are so easy to open, and they do get you by for a day or so, but you get tired of them. So for warmth, you can't expect your heater to work or your air conditioning. So if your roof is intact, your clothes are and your sleeping bag are going to be what you rely on to stay warm. You also really ought to have a stocking cap or a cap like that to retain your warmth. Now, you can make your own list, but I think of those most basic elements, water, food, and warmth, and you can have so many more things just by examining what it is you want to have. And one of those other immediate concerns that you will have is a bathroom. The water lines can be broken, the sewer lines can be broken, and you have to be prepared to dig a latrine. If the emergency continues, you will have other things that you want. Like you'll want your toothbrush, you'll want your normal hygiene items. There's just some things you will want, just like if you were going on a weekend trip someplace. Maybe that's the terms to think of it in. I'm going on a trip for 3 days, and this is what I want to have available. So, have a look. Have a look and see what it is you want to put on your list. Again, food, water, warmth. And then you add to that all the things that you think you might want. And somehow the bathroom is so very important. And then with the conditions that would go on in an emergency, you really must have an anti-diarrheal pill, something that helps that. You must also have a first aid kit. When I say pill, I don't mean one. I mean lots, because you don't know how many people are going to be in your little area and what neighbors you will be able to help. So have plenty of supplies if you can, but if it's just a small little backpack of things, then just have a few for your personal kit. Anyway, have your first aid kit. That's pretty good to have. In an emergency situation, cuts and scrapes and bruises are going to happen. And they can get to be pretty serious if they become infected. They get to be life-threatening. So by all means, have some triple antibiotic in your medical kit. Have lots of cloth medical tape and have gauze pads. Those things will get you through a whole lot. Have a little Swiss Army knife with scissors. The scissors are important for cutting things or even loose skin if you need to. That's the absolute minimum, but you can always get ever so many more things. It's just a matter of your decision. Make your list and then decide what to have in your large medical kit or your large preparedness kit and your small one that you can walk away with, put in your backpack. Beyond these things, a paper and pencil is pretty important, so you can write down the things you need to remember. A flashlight with extra batteries, and a radio, same thing, with extra batteries. And if you can, you might want a solar-powered recharger with rechargeable batteries, and you'll want soap. Now, everybody, like I said, has to have that backpack, whether it's large or small. Everybody needs something to carry their personal things in. So don't overlook that. And you might think that the paper documents that you have are important. Well, they are important, but you might have to make a choice of if you have your documents or if you have water and food. Well, you sure need water and food. Maybe not a radio, maybe not bank papers, but these are all things that you make a decision about. If you're going to sleep outside, which you have to figure on as a possibility, you'll need those warm clothes and a sleeping bag and So those are also considerations. Emergency conditions are just that. They are emergency conditions. So think about what your essential items are. You might not be able to make it to a place where there is electricity. You might not be able to have a home to live in. Emergency is emergency. So just realize that, and also your need for a community. Somehow, people need people, and people can help people. Isn't that what we want? We want people to help us and support us. And we want also to help other people and support them as best we know how. In an emergency, it's quite a different thing if we go with electricity for a day or a weekend or a few weeks or a month. Quite different. But all these things happen in life. So remember that emergencies happen, and also that there will be order restored, and you will want your behavior to be good behavior in the midst of that emergency. Make sure that those around you also have that good and wise behavior so they don't have consequences from their behavior during an emergency. That's one of the things that being a community is helpful in, because one person or one group of people can reinforce the behavior of another person or group of people. Yeah, eventually, order will be restored, and you will want your behavior to be good behavior. You will be held accountable to the civil authorities, and ultimately you will be held accountable by God. So remember those things. And lastly, let me close with this broadcast. Anytime, I want you to know that I appreciate any support that you can send to me. And I am thankful that you are listening to Christ Today radio broadcast. And do remember that you can listen to past broadcasts, including this one, by going to www.christtoday.org. And that's all lowercase and no spaces. And if you don't get it quite right, another website comes up. So that's why I say lowercase and no spaces. And you can get my preparedness pamphlet too by sending a self-addressed stamped envelope to me, John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. So until next week, may you walk with God, and may God walk with you.